Did you see, Sue?
Huh?
Did you see that all that bread was there from Cal, I think?
I think we have.
The notes there from Cal.
Yeah.
French toast tomorrow sound good?
Yeah.
Very French toast.
Do you ever have you don't come over here for brunch?
Not much.
You're missing the bet.
You're missing a really good best meal, one of the best meals of the week.
I've seen the fair, it's stellar. I think D Magazine would give us a very high cash.
Romans 5. If you don't want to bring any food, it's $5.
But if you can't, yeah, bring
your own pig.
Yeah, bring your own pig. Harry doesn't have to do that, though.
That was rude.
You're trying to figure it out now.
Even I got that one.
That's a nice way to start off the morning.
Today?
No, he said he'd rather go to the dentist. Romans 5, verse 12.
Hey, Darren, we have front row seating available. You don't have to sit in the cheap seat.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you want to.
Yeah, these are the water seats.
Are
they out of town?
See, there's a perfect example.
We don't know, but they're below seat.
You snooze, you lose. They're
not out of town.
Screw
it.
It's
here.
Are we done? May we start now, Harry? I'm sorry, I shouldn't pick on Harry.
Whatever
you consider to be appropriate. All right, Romans 5, verse 12. This is one of the most hardest, or one of the hardest things for us to accept, this next declarative sentence. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. It is so foreign for us to believe that by Adam's sin we are cursed. We can't accept it. It won't, even for long-time believers, they really don't believe that this happened. Does anybody here have a problem with that?
Something Sammy Ventura said to me once made that clear. He said, if Adam hadn't done it, I would have. And I thought, wow.
That's a little egotistical, but
I'm
just kidding you. The only way you can understand it. Huh?
Him, you're just kidding.
The only way you can understand it is to consider anyone, but consider this. If your grandfather had died at birth, where would you be? You would be without a cell phone. I mean, it's easy to accept that intellectually and philosophically, but to accept it and know it emotionally is a humongous act of grace. But again, if your grandfather had died at birth, where would you be? You would be non-existent. Well, the same principle is the idea that Adam fell, or the first man fell, and it was a cosmic phenomenon. It changed the universe. I've often speculated that before the fall, that the second law of thermodynamics, which is nothing in itself and of itself can ever reproduce anything greater than itself, was not extant. I mean, everything is denigrated. You've heard me talk about, we have before all of these Christians running around and talking about how, and condemning evolution, but they believe in spiritual evolution. We even have the guys that are now saying that when they get to heaven, that even Paul, Paul and Moses and Elijah are going to come and sit at their feet so they can hear the great revelations that they have. I mean, we are not evolving, we are devolving. We are so far from where even the believers were at the day of Christ that it's not even funny. So by one man, sin entered into the world. And death. Now, the world here is the Greek word aion, A-I-O-N. And it means all of the everything, the cultural everything. Be not conformed to this world. It means the Zeitgeist of the age, everything. But on the counterpoint, Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now what's going on there? And then in John it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This was one of the greatest, you remember I told you before, whenever I found what appeared to be a contradiction in the scriptures, it was hiding the greatest revelation. The word, again, here is world, and the word in 1 John where it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, is aion. But where it says, God so loved the world, it's the Greek word cosmos, where we get cosmology. And he's really saying God so loved the bride that he gave his son for the bride. And it takes it away from this egocentristic theology that we see so prevalent. I've heard preacher after preacher after preacher say, God loves you so much that if you were the only one on earth, God would have died for you. Jesus would have died for you. That is the biggest heresy in the universe. God didn't die for you. He died instead of you. And it's the word, again, that word hooper, which means instead of. He paid the price for what you deserve. But God so loved, do you understand what I'm saying? God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so loved the world, the cosmos, that this is what he did. He gave, thusly, he gave his son to die on the cross. But as long as our egocentric minds look at that, we come up with this harebrained theology that God loves the human race. That's not true. And yet, it's the dominant theology in today's Christianity. Everybody understand that? Anybody have any questions?
I just have a comment. It's like everything I'm hearing this morning relates back to what we've talked about a lot lately, that you can't talk about your faith without talking about your death. So nothing that you're saying can depart from circling that point, that death itself, if you veer from that, then you start taking it to yourself, and it means something to yourself, the whole thing. So
just think about not being able to accept that we're fallen, that we're the fruit of the poison tree, poison fruit. This reminds me of the thing you said about the guy going up to Sinatra and saying, you're just a great singer. That person is deceived doesn't realize that is a trick that places them above the person. They don't know that. They think they're saying and doing a nice thing.
Right.
They don't realize that they're saying, I'm better than you are, and I judge you to be okay.
Right.
It's the same thing here. We take the most incredible, most extreme example of total self-giving love and turn it subtly into a thing that elevates us, that we're the object of that example, and it proves how important we are. As opposed to, that's the captain of our faith, and we should be completely giving ourselves away all the time.
Amen. So anyway, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's not negotiable. You can have all the philosophies in the universe. The fact remains that you are dead. Who can believe that?
That's amazing to me, because as I consider it, even this doctrine, the minute you try and hold on to it, it becomes polluted.
Yeah, you automatically try to use it. Yeah. It can't be used. It can't be used for anything. Let that sink in. It's appropriate. Now, you remember my friend that was a professional golfer that I used to play golf with every time I went back to Arizona. And he heard me talk, and then he came up to me one day and asked me, "How can a professional golfer use this?" And that sounds really obnoxious now, but think of how often you have tried to fit this mystery into something or some issue or you try to fit it into your marriage, and you try to fit it into business, and you try to fit it into everything. And so the doctrine cannot be used by the human race. Remember, everything is either the theology of glory or the theology of the cross. All thoughts are really religion, if you think about it. There's only the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. That's the black and white that you have to face. And unfortunately, we face it maybe for a minute when we hear it preached. But the question is, do you face it on a second-by-second basis, living in 100% dependence on the Father? For again, without Him, you are nothing. It's like if you don't get this, we might as well close the book and go home. And I mean, get it down to the short hairs, down to the quick.
Well, it's like saying, you know, like you say all the time, anytime you put any personal pronoun in there, it doesn't matter what follows. It doesn't matter.
For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. And that's another big deal. That's not time to discuss that now.
He just went from talking about what happened with Adam to sin being in the world because of law. Was the first law
you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree. That was the only law.
Yeah.
We have to break it. Just the fact that it's there draws all our attention to that fruit, and we got to have that fruit because the law says don't eat.
Yeah.
That's the.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure or the parable of him that was to come. But not at, again, you got to hear, from God's perspective, there are only two men in history, Adam and Christ. Can you capture that a minute? Doesn't matter it makes no difference what you think about it or what you feel about it or it's like the cliche that, you know, it's not, well, I don't believe in gravity. And it's like these scriptures. I've been listening to this Christians United for Israel, this campaign that John Hagee is doing. Better not get me started in that.
It's almost just when you said that made me think, like Adam was made of God's hands, so to speak, whereas Christ was made of his blood.
Go to First Corinthians. Well, Christ, no, man was made of the dust of the earth.
By God.
And when he wasn't made of his blood, he was made of his sperm. He is of the likeness, the same. It's go to 1 Corinthians 15 a minute. I'm sorry, we're not going to make any progress here for a minute. Verse 34, 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Now I'm going to read something, then we're going to concentrate in one verse. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, or thou madman, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, in other words, you don't plant a tree, you plant a seed, or an acorn, or a pecan, or something. You don't plant corn, you plant a seed. And you don't plant you to become you better in heaven. We, as the seed, are planted and a different creation comes forth. Do we know what that is? Well, the only know we think we can call it is the bride. And each member is a function in that mystery, creation, that resurrection. And how? And what is it? It's not our business. The moment you try to define what it is, then you have polluted it because you're trying to define it after your understanding and what you can see. And so you'll come up with these harebrained ideas that there's golf courses in heaven because I like to play golf. Or there's virgins up there because, you won't go there. But God give it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the terrestrial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's a glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now, all that corruption means is that something changes or denigrates with time. If anything that you're doing and any thoughts that you have change with either the time or the place that you're in, then it can't be truth because it's corruptible. Do you understand that? So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now, we always want to sow something we think is going to, like these idiots, that the seed they're talking about, which is really the sperma of God, they're saying the seed is money. Can you imagine what God's going to do to them? That's what they're leading. It's not the people that believe the crap. They're probably fine. It's the people that are preaching the crap. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And your soul is just your you-ness. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Now, if Jesus Christ was the last Adam, who are you? Unless you don't believe this. If Adam was the first Adam, and Jesus was the last Adam, then what's going on? Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, or the last man, is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such is they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are also heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed, transfigured, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying, what is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Believe on him who he has sent. Period. If you understand that section of the Corinthians, it will blow your mind from all of your little ideas about what heaven and hell and everything else is like. By one man, sin entered into the world, by the first Adam. But the last Adam, because of the Trinity, was made a life-giving spirit. All this stuff in between is just... nothing. Less than nothing. I don't feel like talking anymore.
We need to stop.
Anybody have any response? Anybody believe it? Our auditors are over here making sure I'm right.
From the home office.
Right now, seriously.
You've taken over. That's what John Rutledge used to do. John Rutledge would stand up and say, "Holy, that's BS."
I was trained by an auditor.
So there's two Greek words in the Bible
for world.
And if you read the Greek Septuagint or whatever the heck it's called, it would have, like, in this verse,
it has ion.
Ion, and then the next verse,
cosmos.
Really? No. And then what does labor mean?
Labor is believe. What is the work of God?
Believe.
What is the work of God? He answered. That's what the man answered Christ. What do we do? Do we do the work of God?
That's our only labor.
That's our labor.
To believe.
And that's the labor to enter into his rest.
It's like one thing to Adam, don't eat the fruit. One thing to us, believe on he whom he sent.
Amen.
Not save the world. In liturgy.
No.
Well, yeah, not grab it and say, now I need to go do this because I know.
Yeah, remember what the religion calls the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. The Great Commission isn't a command. It's in the aortus tense in the Greek. And it simply says, as you go into the world, in the world that presents itself to you, make disciples. And you can't make disciples unless you believe. So if you believe, you'll speak. If you speak, you'll make disciples. It's not something you try to do, and you don't have some harebrained program, how do we do discipleship? Because that'll just be worm-eaten, corrupted of the mind, trying to mix with God. There's nothing that your mind can conceive of. That's why when we started to get all the publicity here, there was a ton of people that came, either heard about us, read about us, or came here, and they wanted me to write a book on how to do what we did here. I said, that's impossible. Believe on him who he has sent. Without any interference by the thing which is cursed. You know the cliches, you cannot gain that which is blessed by using that which is cursed.
Death is swallowed up in victory.
Oh, death, where is thy
death
sting?
Death is us. Victory is Christ.
No, death is death.
Our death.
Well, from his standpoint, it's cosmic death.
So what, when this corruptible, that's us, was put on, we put on incorruption, which is his resurrection and death.
Just him. That's why the book, you know, the scripture in Romans 10, it talks about, say not even in your heart who shall ascend into heaven, for that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart who will descend into the abyss, for that is to bring Christ up, as though you could say by your own work. But rather say this, the word is near, even unto your heart, even unto your mouth where you speak. For anyone who believes in their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead shall be saved. It's not, you don't believe in your heart. You believe that in your heart he was raised from the dead. We believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. No, we believe, that was true obviously, but we believe in our heart that he was raised, location of sphere in the Greek, in our heart. In our innermost being, his resurrected life, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, was raised in us as a temple of the living God. So it doesn't take any great theology to figure out who the Antichrist is then. Who the Antichrist is you. Because you have seated yourself in the temple of God, showing yourself that you're God. What's the only time a definition of anybody being God is? Because you judge for yourself good and evil.
Spreads life wherever you go.
Again, it's all about his humility. The moment you use this thing to try to understand what you've done is you've then pushed him in the background, in the dungeon of your temple. He cannot occupy where you are. This is so simple. There's nothing complicated about it. There's no little rules you have to learn. No little how-tos. No little concerns about what I'm going to do about this or that. Your only job is to empty. But what happens every single time somebody hears me speak, they come and ask me, well, what do I do about this? I wish I had a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'd shoot him. That's what I just quoting Benny Hinn.
Holy Ghost.
He quoted his wife.
Huh?
No.
It was Benny Hinn and praise.
He's the Holy Ghost anima. He's the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost anima.
Anybody have any risk? What's going on, Kevin?
Something going on recently with somebody, and my request to them was, we just need to be honest. Don't lie to me. And of course, this person lied again, and we had to deal with that. But what I saw in that is, don't eat of the tree. Wasn't a rule that if you break, you get punished. If you do this, we become separate.
Amen.
In other words, you're going to break the connection that you depend on for life,
amen,
existence. Not that I'm going to punish you, because we always think that rules exist just so that there's a punishment or to control some behavior. So God was saying, if you disconnect from me, you will die.
It says in dying, literally in Hebrew it says, in dying you shall surely die.
And then when he makes the covenant with Abraham, he says, I know you're going to break it. I know you're going to sever the relationship, and when you do, I will die for you.
And that's why the scriptures talk about all the time that we crucify the Son of God afresh. And we count the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing that we walk over. It's not, as he said, it's not you're going to get punished. It's that's not going to deal with anybody. That's just...
Again, that's an example, the extreme example of self-giving love. I know that you are going to lie, cheat, steal, and disregard me. And...
I will die.
I will die for you anyway.
That's why that scripture in Galatians is so important. It says, nobody in history has ever made a covenant of one.
That's great.
But God did. He put Abraham to sleep. And so then he said, and he cut the covenant, and he said, if anybody breaks this, if you break this, I will die. And then if you forget, you're crucifying me again.
Sinners.
John? Nothing else? All right, take a big guy.
What verses have a great time in Galatians?
3:16.